A reading from the psalmist. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed in honor and majesty, wrapped in light as with a garment. You stretch out the heavens like a tent. You set the beams of your chambers on the waters. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride on the wings of the wind. You make the winds your messengers, fire and flame your ministers.
From the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'" This is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young see visions, and your old shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." The word of the Lord. Last year, Time magazine featured a cover story entitled "The Most Influential Photographs of All Time." It was a fascinating retrospective for which the editors said they set out to find images that changed the world. Some were predictable photographs, familiar in our corporate memory. The first photo of the Earth shot in color over the horizon of the moon's gray landscape. Some were memorably avant-garde, like a crazy picture of the surrealist artist Salvador Dali jumping up in mid-air before a floating easel while a stream of water and three cats fly toward him. Some were photographs that inspired great things, like a gorgeous picture of Yosemite's Cathedral Rock, which encouraged the founding of our national parks. A few were of solitary individuals that broke open the human heart and had inspired people to action. A person dying of starvation in Somalia. Emmett Till's mother leaning over his brutalized body in his casket, a scene which helped fuel the civil rights movement. And the more recent gut-wrenching picture of the Syrian toddler washed ashore that called many in the international community and many of us in this congregation to respond to the Syrian refugee crisis. Of all the photographs in Time's spread, only one was of a crowd of people together. It was of host Ellen DeGeneres wading into the Academy Awards audience to assemble a community of Oscar-winning celebrities, Bradley Cooper, Lupita Nyong'o, Meryl Streep, Jennifer Lawrence, Julia Roberts, and the like. In less than 2 hours, that selfie was retweeted over 2 million times, causing Twitter to break down for what the magazine called the world's most valuable selfie. Time magazine's retrospective of photographs that changed the world came to my mind this week as I read this amazing story again about the Holy Spirit giving birth to the church. I thought, if God were to take the world's most valuable selfie, it would surely look something like this picture from the Acts of the Apostles. Now, I realize we might not be able to capture the Holy Spirit on our cell phones, but this picture of the day of Pentecost would show the presence of God shining through the first gathering of the church. Acts gives us a snapshot of what kind of community God wants the church to be. Over and against our experience of the world today, where so much division is defined by differences that create barriers, God's gift of the church is a community based on differences. Over the last couple of years, deep fissures in our American landscape have revealed old signs of racism bubbling up in new and horrific ways. Just this week, we've seen the tension between the Israeli and Palestinian people erupt again. All kinds of division around gender differences continue to preoccupy our attention. Just Friday, yet another youth who has been bullied takes a gun to school and kills 10 people, a kind of violent divisiveness that has to come to an end. We all know we are living in a highly charged and polarized time of great divides among people. And yet the first photograph of the church is a wide gathering of God's children from all over the known earth. The Holy Spirit's Pentecostal selfie shows diverse people gathered, people of different languages, different nationalities, different ethnic backgrounds, black and white, urban and rural, rich and poor, young and old. So in our days of conflict, division, and despair, what the Holy Spirit does on Pentecost is give us a world-changing picture for our time. Different and variously gifted people coming together for the redemptive purpose of building community, the body of Christ, for the good work of God in the world. This biblical picture of the church at Pentecost provides crucial guidance for our divisive days, showing that God's intention is for difference to unite rather than divide us. Biblical scholar Matthew Skinner writes, "At Pentecost, dreams begin to materialize. Vision expands. Salvation spills over the horizon like a breaking dawn, and that horizon's width extends as far as the eye can see. At Pentecost, God reaffirms a commitment to a wide-ranging presence and activity. The ligaments of the Holy Spirit hold together many, many kinds of people, not by stripping away their differences, but by welcoming them and valuing them. The setting in which the Spirit burst onto the scene and the ways in which the Spirit makes its presence known through multiple languages reveal that the good news will not belong to one kind of people, no single cultural framework or uniform mode of expression can finally define the gospel or establish a core Christian culture. Skinner concludes, the church's core is Christ and nothing else. And around that central core of Christ, the church is made up of as much diversity as can be contained in the imagination of God. I am so glad today that the church calendar coincided with our BMPC calendar, and we have the opportunity to celebrate Confirmation Sunday on Pentecost. The youth being confirmed today have spent the year considering their faith, learning about the church, and studying the questions they will answer today as they are received into the membership of this congregation and of the church in the world. These are huge questions of faith which invite our youth to make clear choices, asking in part, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? Do you turn toward Jesus Christ? Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you devote yourself to the church's teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers? These are questions which invite commitment to the church envisioned at Pentecost, where the world-changing view of Christ is intentional community, marked and known by diversity. I'm a big fan of National Public Radio's essays called This I Believe, and I pay particular attention to the ones that are voiced by youth and young adults. Matt Harding said on This I Believe, I believe globalization is forcing our brains to evolve. Then this young adult tells a story about a backpacking trip that took him to all kinds of exotic places around the world where he filmed himself dancing from Toronto to Tokyo to Timbuktu. He posted his dancing videos online, amassed a huge following, and then said quite thoughtfully, here's what I can report back. People want to feel connected to each other. They want to be heard and seen, and they're curious to hear and see others from places far away. He goes on, my brain was designed to inhabit a fairly small social network of maybe a few dozen other primates, a tribe. And yet here I am in a world of over 6 billion people, all of whom are now inextricably linked together. My tribe has grown into a single, impossibly vast social network, whether I like it or not. The problem, I believe, isn't that the world has changed. It's that my primitive brain has not. I am fantastic at seeing differences. Everybody is. That instinct may have once been useful for my tribe, but now when I travel, it's a liability. However, when I dance with people everywhere, I see them smile and laugh and act ridiculous. It makes those differences seem smaller. The world seems simpler and my caveman brain finds that comforting. Then he concludes, I believe my children will have brains ever so slightly better suited to the vast complexity that surrounds us. They will be more curious, more eager to absorb and to connect. And I believe when they look into the eyes of strangers, they will see before the differences, the things that are the same. Today, with the reception of 20 confirmands, our church grows younger, thank God. And I like to imagine that you who are joining the church today will help us be better connected to one another, to the stranger, and to the diversity of our world. Because I agree with Matt Harding, who danced around the world, globalization is forcing our brains to evolve in new ways and to evolve in more accepting ways. And I also know that the vision the Holy Spirit gave us at Pentecost is still propelling us forward. Every nation under heaven gathered. Different languages spoken, but with understanding. The young seeing visions of a new world order. The old dreaming good dreams. And the Pentecost birth certificate for the church says, born of the Spirit, sent into the world, obeying Christ and showing God's love for all people. Amen.